Okay, I've left my drink in the other room, but I don't care. I'm gonna go drinksless.
Oh. Freeballing it. Going in dry. Ugh.
Hello, and welcome to Incomplete Geeks, a gay geek podcast where we talk about all sorts of geeky things. Sometimes our knowledge is A+, other times our knowledge is a little bit...
incomplete.
That's right. We are your hosts. I'm John, that's Nick, two gay guys traveling through the world searching for that long-lost muffin. There was nothing to that. I just made that up just now. It's like he used to do ad-lib in improv when he was younger. I didn't. That's a lie either. Anyway... thanks for tuning in. This is just going to be a blathering kind of episode.
And we're off to a cracking start.
Well, this is what happens when you put me in charge. We're just going to chit chat and talk about what's going on. Should we start with some geekery of the weekery?
I mean, that's all I got.
Good. It could be just like a geekery of the weekery episode. There's nothing wrong with that.
We've done it before. Last week.
Previously on X-Men.
Geekery of the Weekery.
What? Do you want to? Okay. Well, let's. Because I don't want to, like. I don't want to, like. Are you a train?
I'm doing the Geekery of the Weekery dance. Geekery of the Weekery. Did you have anything else other than X-Men to talk about?
Yes.
Is that the Geekery of the Weekery?
Or no.
Is X-Men the
Geekery? What kind of? Both.
Okay.
Should we start with X-Men? No. I don't care. Because like some people, if they just want us to, you know, listen to us chat about ridiculous shit, we're happy to do that. But I wanted to mention, okay, I'll go first. Because Geeky Weekery, which you may not have heard of, but this week was the BAFTAs for games. The BAFTA Game Awards. Did you know?
I don't know.
You didn't. So BAFTAs have, I think it's like been 20 years by now or something like that. And they had the Game Awards and the best in the year of, and the top spot was won by Baldur's Gate 3. Best game of the year at the BAFTAs.
Do we agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, it's been quite an undertaking. I still haven't played it. So
you haven't played it at all?
Well, I haven't bought it yet.
Oh.
Waiting around.
Why?
Waiting around for us to
get... Are you poor?
You not so poor? Much anymore. I was. I have been. I've been poor. Help me. Ugh. I'm poor. Weren't we going to like do a Twitch or something like that? A team Twitch.
You can do Twitch from this. We have a Twitch.
Incomplete Geeks has a Twitch.
Twitch.com. Twitch. Incomplete Geeks /
No, I think it'll be like...
No, we've already got it. I've already set it up. We do have one.
Okay. I trust you.
Yeah.
I believe you.
You should. But I think,
well,
do people still want to watch that? Like, watch you play, seeing as it's like a year old?
That's the question now. I don't think it's quite a year old. Didn't it come out like, maybe it was like late last year?
But we're pleased this one won.
Yeah, we are, because this is basically the game that's set in the Dungeons & Dragons universe. And so you pick a character that could be one of anything, like any gender, any race, any background kind of thing. Although they don't say race anymore, they call it ethnicity, which is fine, or ancestry. Depends on which game you play.
Ancestry sounds a little bit more magical. Ethnicity sounds a little bit politically charged.
Then ancestry, probably. Like dwarves or elves or orcs, whatever. So you have all these options of who you want. This is the one where they released a patch to allow you to actually change the... No, it was the penis. Is this
you
the penis
customize
one?
You can the penis, right?
Yes. But they had to release a patch because people were complaining that the penis didn't really follow the physics of the game. Like, it wasn't flapping around like it should have been.
I remember.
So they updated that, you know, so good on them. But the thing is, like...
Whose job that was? Like, a team of people. It's like, honey, what are you working on today?
Well, I had to go back to the penis.
We're fixing the dangle of the jangle. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the dangle of the jangle. That's exactly what it was. They had to, like... get a scientific, you know, calculation out. Well, like, okay, well, the weight of this, and then if it's, you know, the gravity, and how much of a pendulum does it look, does it look like?
But like, oh, so is this character walking around with his dick out, or is that only in special occasions?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
mean, okay. Well, let's find out together.
This is the game that you can have sex with a bear.
Yeah.
Like an animal bear.
Yeah.
It's fine. Because, you know, because I don't even know if it's like someone's familiar, someone's pet, or if it's like a druid that shapeshifts into a bear. But this is the one that gets everybody sort of
as long on as the they can consent. Stuff. Then yeah, great.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't think they would do non-consensual representation like that in the game. But basically, what impresses me is that for every decision that you can make, so a lot of the paths you can take, like, do you want to spare this one character? Do you want to go to, like, make this character your love interest kind of thing? Like, every single line of dialogue had to be recorded for every single choice that you can make. And the thing is, they're so... I haven't even played it, and I've been amazed by the fact that they've done this, basically. They can have this long story and all these different things that could happen. They've made a script for it. It's fantastic. And cool. So in these BAFTA Game Awards, it won Game of the Year. So that's what it's
awarding, is like the performances in the game rather than like the
development. No, well, see, that's different, actually.
Oh.
So you have like, that's just best overall game, like best picture, okay. The Oscars, best game is Baldur's Gate 3, and then they have like subcategories like best family game, best British game, best, you know, evolving game, whatever. Best family game was Super Mario Bros. Wonder, which I've heard a lot of things about as well. It also got nominated for best game. Also was Spider-Man 2, what was nominated. And that one actually won for the best voice acting in like a main role kind of thing. So the guy who played Miles won best actor. But the best supporting actor was one of the characters from Baldur's Gate 3. So, and I don't know these people. I feel really bad. But yeah, it looks... I feel like I should know these people. But a lot of Baldur's Gate 3 people, actors, were nominated. I'm just looking at it now and I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 actors. So yeah.
Cool.
Tears of the Kingdom got best technical achievement, which makes sense because of all the crazy shit you can do, and it got nominated for best game as well. The whole concept of how much you know about Tears of the Kingdom? Not a lot. So the big concept, the big thing that again, sort of like basically using this open sandbox kind of world to the nth degree, where you can actually build stuff in game. So you have all these parts, and then you unlock an ability to sort of construct things, put them together. And so you've got like all these technical advancements, like wheels and platforms and things that can shoot and things that can drive themselves and things that can like a fan that can make you hover or, you know, glide if you're on a, you know, in the air or on the water kind of thing, like all these sorts of things. And you've seen memes of that as well, people building ridiculous shit because they've got all the time on their hands to do that. Like, you should look at my cart. Like, that's I'm proud that it goes somewhere, you know. But people building these big machines, you know.
It's an actual
game. In the game. The thing is, like, this engine that they built for this Tears of the Kingdom game, like, it all is just physics based. But it's just amazing how much reign they give to players. And, you know, you've got this plot line that makes you have to go save Princess Zelda, and
the majority of time you just stupid princess.
Well,
doing stupid shit and getting kidnapped.
No, she doesn't get kidnapped. She goes back in time.
Oh, okay.
Why?
Okay.
A, I don't want to spoil it. B, I don't know because I didn't actually finish the game before I lost my Switch. Took it started, but I'm gonna get back. We're gonna get back.
If you'd like to contribute fingers to John crossed. Getting a new Switch,
gotta get the game
on Patreon. Yeah. We don't have
Patreon.com. We do have a Patreon.
Oh, do we?
I set it up. Yeah, we do.
Patreon.com, give us money and that'd be nice.
I mean, I have to set it up to give people's tier. Yeah, I mean, we don't do ads. It's fun. We do this for free. I need a bit of help. And you listen for free as well, but you know, no pressure. So yeah, BAFTAs were this week, so it was great. It was fun.
Sort of another Geeker of the Weekery that you can talk about, which I suppose is video game related, is Fallout.
Yes. Fallout's a TV show.
It's from a game though, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So I'll take over this as well. Yes. So Fallout is a video game released by Bethesda, who are the same people who made Skyrim. All the Elder Scrolls stuff and other things as well, but that's what they're best known for. And it's basically a bit like Skyrim, but more shooty. You've got guns. And have you seen the TV? So they adapted it into a TV show for Amazon Prime. And the whole concept is you are a player who's basically the world has gone through a nuclear holocaust. Like it's like everybody's like a dystopian future. But you were a character, you're what's called a vault dweller. So when this happened, some people escaped underground and they've been living there for like 200 years or so. But the concept is that in a sort of alternate history of the world, they started making nuclear weapons and progression in technology in like the 50s. So everything's got like a 50s kind of vibe. So you've got like the basic sort of TVs, it's all fun, sort of like that kind of artwork. It's all sort of that style and culture, but in the future with like guns and stuff. And so you, for whatever reason, you are a vault dweller and you have to go to the surface to do the missions, whatever. And so the TV show, of which I've seen the first two, I think it's great. Yeah. I don't totally understand what's going on, but that's okay.
That's kind of fun.
It's got some good actors in it. The main, so basically the first episode was like introducing these three characters. Mm. So one of them is a vault dweller called Lucy. Mm. And then one of them is a guy on the surface called Maximus. Anyway, he's part of this group called the Brotherhood of Steel, where they're sort of on the surface and they sort of go back to, you know, the basic in terms of technology, and they have to build things with steel, so they have like big knight armor. So you might have seen these big armor suits of armor on some of the artwork for the games. And so Maximus is like a squire to these other characters. They call them knights of the brother of the knights of the brotherhood, knights of the yeah no it is knights of the brotherhood of steel. That's what they're called. So they're the knights. So he's a squire, and then like they go off looking for this scientist guy. And then the third character is this character called the Ghoul, who is played by Walton Goggins, who you might know as the voice of, his name escapes me. The guy who runs the government agency in Invincible. The one who's always like zapping in and out, teleporting.
Okay.
Cecil? Yes, he was Cecil or Cecil.
Cecil.
Seth Stedman. What a dumb name. Anyway, he does that voice. He's great in it as well. He plays this character who has basically been resurrected. They call him a mutant, but I don't understand the ghost. Anyway, Fallout, it seems great. I've heard people who watched the entire show said it's all a bit silly, but in a fun way. Okay. Because it is kind of bonkers in the fact that it's, you know, this character who's been living in the 50s mentality for 200 years with this civilization underground, coming to the surface and being like a fish out of water kind of thing, where she's got to sort of learn how to survive, and a lot of blood, a lot of gore in the way that it's like one guy gets his leg shot off, and so they have to sort of put on a prosthetic, because of this dystopian future and this post-apocalyptic landscape, everyone's losing limbs, so they get like this box of extra tools, and so here you go, pop it on.
No.
But then he's got the leg for the rest of the episode.
No. Mm-mm. I don't like that. Cool.
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up. And if you should watch it, let me know if you're following the story. Seeing as you haven't played the games,
I probably won't. I hate a dystopian future kind of thing. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like you and zombies. I'm not gonna. I'm just not.
I don't think there are zombies.
No, but it's like and zombies. You're like, ugh, zombies.
Oh,
like, ugh,
yeah, I mean, zombies.
Yeah. Which usually,
I mean, zombies are kind of dystopian anyway.
Yeah, they're usually the same thing. But And it's more like society collapsed on itself and oh, now we have hierarchies and like...
It's like, that's what we're living through in the real world right now. We don't need representation of that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll give it a... Yeah, what else we got? Well, we're on episode 6 of X-Men 97, and we've talked... We did on the TikTok. I mean, because, you know, TikTok's all about sort of dancing to crazy things. It's like, who's going to... just take my shirt off, yeah.
Give me the likes.
Get the tits out.
Get the tits out. Can't say tits.
So, yes. TikTok. We haven't... you can't say tits on TikTok. Oh, no.
Anyway.
We learned that the hard way.
Tits or titties.
Titties.
We're not even... Not titties and not tiddies either.
We did with D's as well. And
I did, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I did the D's in the captions, but I also made a comment. I was like, ha, 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 show me them titties, like referring to myself.
Yeah.
And it got reported.
No. Well, life just got shattered. Anyway, so let's talk about X.
Let's talk about X, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Right.
Well, it feels like a lifetime ago since, like, because we haven't talked about 5. And that was fucking chaos. I would like to say that fucking this show is driving me insane because the fucking people who watch this show, and I'm sorry to lump you in, fucking Americans, watch this show when it's released at midnight and then immediately post full episodes and the most spoiler stuff at 1 in the morning in the US time. We don't get it here until the middle of the day. It's not like we could even get up at 6 in the morning and watch it. It's not available to us until later on in the day. And if you go on Instagram, there are screenshots and full clips of Storm getting her powers back. Like, straight away. I'm so fucking sick.
Who are you following? Why are you following them?
Geek person, if you've ever talked about anything on TikTok, like full videos of all these, just, and it's not like in the good influencers will be like, oh my God, this episode was so great. Spoiler alert. 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You don't scroll and see Storm getting her powers
like us.
Back. Like, fuck you. I'm so pissed off.
Yeah.
So
spoilers.
Storm gets powers back. It's been a week now. It's fine. But
has it?
Oh, gosh.
It's been in season 6.
Storm doesn't get powers back till 6. I was at work all day. I was just the story of episode 5. I was at work all day, and then I was going to see my friend. So I was like, right, mental note, do not go on. So I stayed off social all day.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, I like brainlessly scroll it every time. I was like, no, I have to stay up all day. Went at dinner with my friend, didn't get on the train all the way, coming back and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, like, that's hard.
It was like 9:30. It's like, oh my God, just stay off it. We'll watch it when we get home.
Yeah.
And my friend messaged me saying, oh my God, did Magneto and Gambit just die? I'm like...
It's not just the influencers, it's your friends.
Are you fucking kidding me? I haven't.
Who would do that?
He's like, but it's been a day. It's like, no, it hasn't. He's like, I got my days wrong. So, Chris.
I got my days wrong. Fuck off.
You.
Rude.
So, every episode unfriended. Of this show has been spoiled, at least to a little degree.
Is Chris an American?
No, he's English.
So.
Just an idiot.
Fucking English people. See, it's all over. So if you're listening and just don't.
One day, 24 hours.
What is it about humans? What is it about humans that you have to sort of spread news? You have to tell people that you've seen it, tell people that you've experienced it, so that you can feel better about knowing something that somebody else doesn't? That's what I think it is. It's a subconscious need.
We want to bond over it or share stuff. And I appreciate that. And it's lovely.
That's also true.
Give it one day. Because if you haven't seen it by like, if it's like Friday or Saturday and you still haven't seen it, it's like, well, you don't care as much. You're not that worried. Like, but the day, give me a day.
Well, even then, like if you like for, in my example, from using me as an example, I have told Tom that I'm going to watch it with him because he's interested and we'll watch it together. Wednesday, couldn't watch it because I had gone out. Thursday was yesterday. Something was happening. I forget. Oh, no, we went. What happened? Oh, we went to the theater. So we watched it today. Friday.
Sorry, because I just
at the time of recording.
Spoilers. Oh shit! Oh my god!
I would have stopped you. No, I knew that we couldn't start recording unless I'd seen it. But the thing is, like, I had to hold off, and the thing is, like, I don't follow. I don't have asshole friends like you do, and I don't follow those accounts. But I was like scrolling through YouTube, just the YouTube thumbnails. Yeah, like the thumbnail kind of thing.
All the breakdowns. Click on it.
Breakdowns, you know, which I'm trying not to watch them. I'm trying to, like, I watch other sort of videos, but there's just pictures of Professor X. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, so he's back in it now. Yeah. Just, you know, whatever.
I know.
It's just, I know they're just trying to rope people in and they're trying to get you to watch it and be like, hey, I wonder why.
It's the 24-hour thing. I think that's acceptable, but anything after than that, you have to understand. Stop chewing your fingers. You have to understand. It'll be on camera.
I know.
It's going to be in the TikTok clip. You'll be on.
This is why I don't chew my nails when we say something interesting.
It's all interesting.
That's true.
It's not. I don't even know. Let's talk about the episode.
We don't know when it happens. We just do random shit and it's fun.
All right, calm down. So determined to be like,
calm down. Calm down. You don't know that reference, but anyway. Okay, so do you want to talk about the episodes? 5 and/or 6.
Let's talk about them. We don't have to do like a breakdown of it. I think, especially for episode 5, we're so late. I've listened to so many of them and I've loved it.
So many what?
So many breakdowns.
Breakdowns, yeah. I'm still avoiding all those breakdowns. I just can't. I actually started watching one of them. I was like, oh, I know what it was. I started watching one about episode 5. And then it got to the point where it was like, oh, look at all these X-Men in the backgrounds of Genosha. And there's that so-and-so and that so-and-so. And this is so-and-so who doesn't know how to fly in the comic. But and I was like, I don't care. Like, it's interesting up to a point. But then I was like, I don't watch it to see everything. Like, if I see somebody and I get it, great. Oh, like, I did notice, like, I noticed Multiple Man at one point. I was like, oh, yeah, there he is. He looks different, but that's him. Cool. But if I don't know the Blob person, like, I'm not losing out.
Blob Herman. Do you find, I'm curious, because it seems so much of the show is such a deep cut. It's so closely taking storylines and motifs from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
It does it feel like, I know we talked about it with Goblin Queen. You're like, Goblin Queen, the fuck's that about?
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel a little bit too much like you're missing something or a little bit too much like that? Or does it still seem like it's just a really well-written animated show, or does it feel bit like it's for comic book nerds or not enough for you? I don't know, I'm just curious.
I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Okay.
In episode 5, definitely not. Maybe a little bit in episode 6, because I knew because episode 6 we go back to the Shi'ar, and I kind of I know that they have a big thing about with the Phoenix, which I still haven't seen. Nicholas,
we'll get to it when we have time.
We'll get to it. So, and there's a couple characters who, like, I watched it with subtitles. And so it's like, you get, like, you know, Deathbird in brackets. And then it says, has her line. And so I was like, okay, well, that's a character's name that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And then they do say her name later on in the episode. But I was like,
she wasn't really, she was in one tiny bit in the original series. Not really.
Oh, okay.
But everybody who reads the comics knows Deathbird.
Sure. So, I mean, that's okay for me. Like, I know, like, I mean, I know that not everything's going to be immediately. I don't like shows that assume you know everything, and this one doesn't.
Okay.
Because everybody's, I mean, as far as I know, everyone who's worth knowing their name, they do say their name at some point.
Yes.
So then if you're eagle-eyed like me, or if you pay attention, like I try to, you'll get it all. You'll get it all.
Okay.
Sometimes if you know, second watchings. Especially in the 5th one though, because I don't think I knew that there was like a massacre on Genosha.
Yeah.
And so that was like, I mean, I remember thinking that the episode was started out and I was like, oh, this is really a slow episode. Ugh, whatever. And then Cable shows up and is like, he's coming. And I was like, oh, something's gonna happen. Okay. And then everybody dies. I was like, what? Oh, what?
It still blows my mind how I know all these storylines. I know exactly what happens in Genosha. And I still didn't see it coming. How stupid am I?
Very stupid. Although, this is what I tell you what this is. This is the result of you not having expectations. Because if you were going to see, like, ride. Fire Maid Flash, I know that's going to be about Jean and Madeline. Life, Death? Oh, I know that's going to be about Forge and Storm. Like, oh, remember it? I remember that. It was a bebop. That was a line Gambit said in the first one. You would have not.
Did not think that at all. I said, no. We were like Morph's memory or something? I don't know.
I know. We're so stupid. We're
so dumb. So dumb. But even that, that's such a lovely, because that was a shit line in the original series. The name's Gambit. And they use it twice. I was like, that's such a lovely way to take a really crap line.
Does he say it twice?
They say, like, you know how they like clearly recycle it for like, oh, we're having a big fight scene. Just put in that line that he says and whatever.
Yeah.
It's such a shit line. But it's wonderful. And it's so...
Yeah, well
it's done with so much love for the original series and so much love for the comics.
That's something that's been clear throughout. Yeah.
The way even the look of the Master Mold is exactly how it looks. It's drawn from the comics and how they have the three heads and the weird stuff. It's like, this is insane. It's so...
Okay.
It didn't need to do that and it looks great. Sorry, carry on. Yes.
So the big cockroach kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, raise your hand. Demerits, raise your hand. Reference to the episode 6. But that sort of cockroachy looking thing, do we still call that a Master Mold?
Yes.
Is that how it looks in the comic?
Yeah, it was weirdly specific. I don't know why it was drawn like that, but this was the
story. I mean, why is Master Mold a large version of a Sentinel? That's just bizarre. If it makes Sentinels, why does it look like a Sentinel? Anyway, Master Mold is weird.
Yeah, it was just drawn. It was weird art style at the time in the Grant Morrison run.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just what it looked like a big cockroach just wiping out 16 million mutants on Genosha.
16?
Yeah.
Well, I did see one breakdown that said maybe in the beginning of the break, but like it's a lot of the damage was focused on that one city, and there's definitely some other villages / cities around the island.
Hammer Bay is the capital.
Hammer Bay
is the capital of Genosha.
That's a bit gay.
No, that's a bit geeky.
Hammer Gay Bay. I just said
Hammer Gay. No. They don't say how many people are killed, but they say lots of people are killed. Originally, I'm like, drama, drama, drama. Cable's there, time travel. This isn't going to be forever. But I'm
fucking hope not.
But I'm not sure now. Like, there's been some people saying they think he's... Magneto isn't really dead, and he's just covering it up. But Gambit is really dead, and he's going to stay dead. But I don't know.
They can't do that. He's the best one.
I don't think...
he's not the best one. He's my favorite one. He's just different
things. And he's a lot of people's favorites, and it was brilliantly done. I don't think they will leave it like that, because as we saw in episode 6, Storm's already got her powers back. So they didn't leave that. They didn't leave that to like stew for very long. So I don't
think they'll leave this that long. There's definitely gonna be some time travel in it. Especially next week.
I know I get them wrong every time, but I'm really, really, really confident.
Confident about Bright Eyes.
Bright Eyes it's gotta be a reference to Cable, because that's Rogue's line, right? Remember me, Bright Eyes. It has to
be. And they have pulled a lot. They're focusing a lot on the characters' dialogue.
Yes, remember
in the episode titles. Yeah. So my X-Men is.
I'm pretty confident I'm going to get this one.
Tolerance is extinction is actually from a line. To me, my X-Men, Cyclops, and Magneto say that. Whatever else, Motendo. Anyway, so big drama. Episode 5. We love it.
For days. I was just going around saying, I can't feel you. What?
No!
That woman.
I can't feel you.
Oh, and we posted on Instagram, Lenore Zand's response. And she's just been so lovely on social media. But it was such a beautiful performance. I think she did such a great job. And we talked about on the live that no one saw Happy Nation. And all
yes,
of that.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, so great.
I still haven't seen anybody else. Please, if anybody's listening. What? On what? You saw somebody talk about it?
The Flash?
That wasn't me?
From the psychic thingamajiggy? People saw that before you did, John. Sorry.
How? You mean they heard it before episode 5 came out?
No, like I heard it from a breakdown before you told me.
Oh, you lied to me. You seemed like you were really excited to hear it.
I was excited.
So we explain what it is. Basically, I swear to God, I found this on my own because watching episode 5, obviously you recognize the Ace of Base song Happy Nation, because I used to love that band when I was younger.
I loved that band when I was younger. They were my first ever CD.
One of my early ones as well. Which one?
Happy Nation, US version.
Oh, really? I had the album. I had the bridge, which was the not the first one. It was the second one.
Yeah, no, I got, yeah.
Anyway, so Happy Nation, I recognize it because that's the song that is playing when you've got like the sort of the techno sort of beats in at the party and in Genosha. And then
so
when,
90s.
When Rogue appears, it's so 90s. It is 90s, yes. Yeah. So when Rogue appears and then Magneto levitates up to dance together, Happy Nation's playing. Yeah.
In front of Gambit, which is poor form, but whatever. Ugh. Oh, so it's number one trending spot on their Spotify artist page. So.
Oh, that's not. So it wasn't actually number one.
No, it's just their number one song. But
I've listened to it over and
so
over
many times.
And over
it's
again.
So good. I love it. It's such a great choice.
When I'm just sitting here, like working. The lyrics are great. They're really pertinent to what the scene was going on. Something, something, and Brotherhood, whatever, I should look them up. But anyway, it fits. Then after that episode, I went back, because we talked on the TikTok, and I said, we just don't know who that sand creature is, whatever, from the
I didn't believe you that there was one. This is how much I think.
Yes,
this, this is how wrong I am about all my predictions.
I mean, the thing is, like, it really is a blink and you miss it kind of moment.
He had lines. He said lines, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think that happened.
Do you mean Master Mold? I'm like, so anyway, I watched that sequence again of when Jean, who we now know was Madeline the whole time, was like, oh no, someone else is here, when she's tapping into Gyrick's mind, right? And she goes into the astral plane, and then she has a vision, or Jean has a vision, of being not pregnant, but there's the baby. And there's a brief moment of this sort of sandy, whirly kind of creature saying, not again, I'm so sorry, or something like that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to show you that clip and see if it sounded like Cable. I don't think it was. It probably is.
It is.
Fine.
And who was the original voice of Gambit?
The guy doing Cable now was original. Was it really Gambit? Oh, yeah. Cool.
Which doesn't sound anything like Gambit, so I can understand how they did it.
But anyway, it's fine. But then I noticed in the background, there's this sort of... There was like a theme of Happy Nation slowed down in the background of the tune, and then if you keep watching it, I was like, "Hang on, this sounds like the whatever the sort of the melody is before the singing comes in."
Anyway,
and then she sees the Master Mold and the green blast that kind of blasts everything else out. She's foreshadowing the Massacre of Genosha,
which even down to the soundtrack she's seen. That's a connection with Cable, who's already seen it. She's not got precognitive powers. She's just made a connection to Cable through
time. Interesting.
Because of he's got the memories, and that's the baby. Because
that's Cable's memory, yeah. And the baby is the same as the baby.
And something like that, I think.
I will also say that when Cable does show up, he's like, oh, no, not again. And he goes, body slides back. And he's like, I'm sorry, Mom. Tom was like, what? Cable is baby Nathan?
Oh, come on.
I swear to God I said it before, but he must not have remembered. Yeah. He doesn't listen to me half the time anyway.
Oh. But the thing is, I take for granted. I was like, well, everybody knows that, right? Apparently.
I thought so too. Oh, I don't. It's fine. It's a nice little sort of reveal.
I love it. I love
And the thing is, like, the fun thing, sorry. The fun thing is that people will break down the previous series, and there's a moment where Jean goes into Cable's mind, sees his parents, and there's a brief flash of Scott and Madeline, which wasn't the plan at the time, but the hair is different, and even Jean has a line that's just like,
that's not possible.
How can that be? Or that what that's not possible. Yeah, that's not possible.
It's
like a little Easter egg. Boop. It's an Easter egg before it was a thing.
Fuck you, Jean.
So yeah.
I like how they're using Madeline. Because I was
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't like that the Inferno thing was done so quickly, but it softens the sting a bit because it's kind of like, okay, she's not evil. Let's use her rather than, because at the end of Inferno she dies. So, but now she's alive. They can use her. And I think it's a really clever. Some people don't like it, but comic book queers don't like it. I really like how they've swapped out, instead of Emma Frost, it's Madeline. So in the comic books, around the same sort of time, Scott and Jean are having difficulties and he starts having a telepathic affair with Emma Frost.
I remember you saying this, yeah.
In our Emma Frost episode, episode 50, with special guest star Brett from Comic Book Quiz.
I was like, do you know the number? And it was 50. Yeah, of course it was 50.
And so I really like
go back and listen to it if you haven't heard it.
Because apparently I don't think the creator likes that aspect because it makes Emma seem like really shitty and that sort of stuff. So it's a really clever twist as a way of keeping it Madeline, and it makes it less cheating for Scott, because even when they're having their conversation in his mind, they're not fucking in cosplay, which they are in the comics. They're just talking about their kid that is their kid and not Jean's kid, and having that kind of, even that where she's like, oh, my mind wandered, that's like a line from the comics, and then Emma sees it. It's just, I think it's just done really
well. Yeah, I love that.
It's just she's really, like wandering, the best indeed. Line is when, what is it, Val Cooper comes up and says something, whatever, and something bitchy, and then Emma's like, most, is it most your dress? It's a bitchy.
Oh. I'd love that, yeah.
There's something terribly wrong. Emma? Is it your dress? I don't know what she said. It's so bitchy. Something like that,
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy Emma's here. I'm so happy she's here.
Brief, but so good. I thought you were going to say when she was like, well, two things. When she's like, oh, my mind just wandered for a bit, and there's that little, she cracks like a cheeky grin. It's like, yeah. Wandering indeed. Wandering like, indeed. She knows what was going on.
She's been listening. Yeah, she can see what was going on. I love it. I think it's done, it's a really nice way of tying all the bits together and changing. I think it's great, really.
And they've nailed her persona.
I got Emma's like, perfect. And it's in the Genosha massacres where she gets her diamond form. So hopefully we'll see her. Because she's in Genosha and she's one of the few that survives because she gets a secondary mutation. So she should come out the rubble in her diamond form.
Interesting. We don't know a lot about who survives, do we?
No, we saw. Well, we saw a lot of. We saw a lot of them dead.
Yeah.
We fucking saw Dazzler dead. That was uncalled
for. I missed that. I didn't see that.
Uncalled for, guys. Ooh, we saw Callisto's life drain.
Yeah, from her that's eye. The only one that I was thinking of that was like definitely clear.
Banshee was vaporized in front of us. It was fucking harsh. Oh yeah. Which it's supposed to be, which is good. Nightcrawler did survive because
I was gonna say we don't know about Nightcrawler, but or do we?
We do because he's in the music of episode 6.
Because he's in the what?
He's in the title music.
The intro. Okay.
Instead of Gambit and Magneto.
Yeah, I know it's not there. Oh, I didn't. Oh, you know what? I noticed Magneto. I noticed Gambit wasn't there, and I didn't even notice Magneto wasn't there.
No, Magneto.
I love how they changed.
It's like, we're running out of characters here.
Storm is not back yet, is she?
She'll be back next week because in episode 6.
Nice segue. In her black suit, do you think she'll be in her black, a new black outfit?
People are losing their minds over it, and I'm happy for them. But for me, it just looks so old fashioned now. It looks so 70s because it's from the 70s. It'd be weird to have her just walking around in a bikini, but she looks hot. It's great.
I think it looks great. I mean, it's definitely a look. I'm glad to see that part of her power set is now rapid hair growth.
And magical clothes regeneration.
Magical clothes regeneration, yeah.
Don't worry about it. She got her powers back from the machine.
Just we confused.
So the machine in Life Death Part 1 worked.
Oh.
It's also, so in the comics, sorry to harp on, it's a very brief moment. Like in the comics, Forge makes they spend a year together. It's a big, lovely, drawn-out thing. Her hair grows back. She has no power. They fall in love.
At the end of this 10 years,
and at the end of this, like, yeah, after all that time with her power, like, but they're in this, whatever, alternate reality where they spend a year together on a different Earth. All this sort of stuff, fall in love, her hair's grown back, all that sort of thing. He creates a weapon, a thing to give her powers back, and blasts her with it. And there's a moment, he's like, call your powers back. And she's like, nothing happens. What happens if I go back to being the way I was before, this untouchable goddess? It's like, that's a risk you have to take. You want this. You have to decide that. She's like, it's too much. I can't do it. And then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And then like a little crack of thunder. And then it comes back. So it's very true to the comics without having to be exactly like the comics.
Yeah.
The fact that it worked, but the reason it wasn't working like where her powers weren't coming back is she was scared of success, scared of living, scared of having what those powers represented for her. Hmm. And losing this chance to just be Aurora rather than having to be Storm. So she was holding back. That's what the adversary was. That's what that fucking freaky owl creep.
It was done really weird.
So well. Allison was fucking brilliant. I'm so excited.
It's really good. There's a moment where they put Storm in a coffin, yeah, and then the adversary like transforms into each one of the X-Men, yeah, with like wicked creepy teeth. It was really effective. I was like, oh, yeah,
so good.
So I didn't actually get, I wasn't clear to me that the machine had worked and that she was. I mean, she mentioned like the lie was
the lie she was telling herself. Yeah.
Okay. That's the lie she was telling herself, that it was a pipe dream or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't clear, but okay, fine. Thank you for explaining that to me. Thank you for listening.
Again, I feel it was rushed. I would have loved to see Storm have to figure out how to be a hero without powers. It's such a mm-hmm. huge, huge part of her character growth to spend so long without that. She leads the X-Men. She beats Cyclops in a fight to lead the X-Men without powers. She does so much as a leader and a woman that isn't a mutant.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to see that, but I also understand she looks fucking cool when she has powers.
And yeah, it was really
doing
good.
Her Beyonce
Omega level threat detected. I mean, also get that on TikTok. Because she had to share the episode with Professor X, so it wasn't even like a full episode again.
Yeah. Ugh, boo. You know, Professor X is so boring. I can't stand him.
There was one line that he was like, "Maybe you should come and rule on Earth." And he just had this weird ass grin.
Although he's clearly, him and Lenandra are clearly into like puppy play. Because there's that line.
Yes.
That puppy play kink line. You can bark later, darling.
It's you like, can bark later.
It's just so written by like a gay man. Or I love it.
I know, right? This man seems to make me seem like your pet. A not entirely unpleasant idea. It's like, you kinky weird
bitch.
I mean, part of me is like all for it, but also part of me is like,
ew.
Okay.
Professor Egg. Ew. Gross.
Keep down, Charles. You can bark later. She's not British. I don't know why I said
that. No, anyway, she's generic space accent, which can be like kind of British. I do like Deathbird calling Earth ghetto. That's fun.
Oh, yeah. Like the ghetto part of the Milky Way. The
fucking Milky Way. That's cool.
How lucky that she not only speaks English, but also that she knows the lingo.
Universal translator.
That's whatever it is.
Or they're speaking Shi'ar.
Professor X is in their head.
Yeah. They're speaking Shi'ar and he's learned it
telepathically. So then she's used the Shi'ar word for ghetto.
Which they probably Earth. Have. Plus, they're a galactic empire. They must be speaking different planetary languages all the time. So I think there is
a universal
translator. Because they have good
time. Something like that.
Science!
That's the one thing that science hasn't really sort of like. It's such the most hand wavy thing in every sci-fi show ever.
Yeah.
Here's me getting my sci-fi hat on. It's like you have to explain it somehow. Yeah. You know, there's so many different ways. Like Star Trek's got universal translators. I mean, Doctor Who has got the TARDIS gets in your head a little bit. Even fucking Douglas Adams in his book says, yeah, this is a fish that feeds on brainwaves that translates in your ear for you. Like, there's always got to be something.
You got to. Otherwise, it's such a distracting and derailing point.
Yeah. You can't. Which is why I like sort of sci-fi like The Expanse, where it's like in the near future and like people who live in the Outer Planets Alliance, like they're so far away, they've developed their own sort of accent. And it sounds really sort of like, I don't know, like pidgin English almost, where they have their own words. Like it makes sense. Anyway, sci-fi. Sci-fi hat off.
Sci-fi. So we think we're going to get a Cable episode next.
Would it be funny if you were wrong? It would, like, it something would be else
very on brand if there's some really obvious thing to do with bright eyes.
What? It'll be a Cyclops episode. It'll be the time travel.
It's got to be him saving Genosha.
Well, yeah. See, I thought so this was episode 6. Bright eyes will be 7. And then there's a 3-part.
8, 9,
finale.
10.
So it is 10. And I thought that they would bring sci-fi, the time travel in for the finale.
But I think that
and fix things. Maybe they have to introduce it first.
Tolerance is extinction. Is that the title? Tolerance is extinction.
Tolerance is extinction. Yeah, which is, again is a line not from anything but the first episode of this season, as far as we know.
An extinction agenda is the one with the executioner, but we've already had him.
Oh, isn't the one called like E is for extinction or something like that?
Yeah.
Is that it?
No, there's extinction. Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong one.
Stupid fucking fuck.
The extinction.
We get things agenda. Wrong once in a while.
That's the one on Genosha.
Maybe not.
Wait, I need to Google something. Where's my other fucking mouse?
Pinching it right now.
Oh my god, I'm so dumb. I'm so dumb. Why am I allowed a podcast when I'm so dumb? The extinction agenda is in Genosha. It's the Genosha story arc. It's a shit one. I don't really like it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, Chris.
Easier to forget then.
It's kind of when all the teams kind of merge back together and there's all the mutates and everything like that. Oh.
Is it good? You don't know?
I don't know. Well, it's so politically charged and such a really, it's towards the end of Claremont's run and it's getting kind of where he's like long-winded and you interconnect the New Mutants, X-Factor and X-Men at that point.
Okay.
Warlock dies and like Wolfsbane gets genetically melded to Havoc and all this kind of weird shit that happens in Genosha, which is still a metaphor for apartheid state back then and that sort of stuff.
I don't know. Well, we know that they're not going to follow all the comic books exactly, as we've seen.
There's got to be an element of that, at least element or influence will have to come through into it. So that'll be interesting.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you want to add about episode 6?
Storm's
Professor
back.
X is finally back.
Professor X is
Storm's back.
But do you think...
I must go back to my X-Men.
Do you think that psychic... You know, he got a psychic flash of Gambit dressed as the Death. Like, of all the students, Gambit's death is the least likely to make... Like, he wouldn't come back for Gambit. It's like, Gambit died. Oh, no, I must go back.
No.
Jean, Scott, yeah. Anyone else? Like, oh.
Well, he loves all of his children, Adam equally.
That's not true.
But I think that the fact that any one of them died, it must have been sort of like the news of, you know, someone losing their life and the information. Stop chewing your hands. The information reverberates through the, you know, through the galaxy at the speed of light. And so he just picks up on that, you know, psychic knows. And I think he was reacting to the actual sort of incident on Genosha.
But the fact that he didn't react to Magneto's death.
He's not dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Mm. So, here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's getting married to Lilandra.
Yeah.
And then he's off and he's sort of contemplating, looking at these statues, whatever.
Shara and
he's talking to you, I think. Is it Gladiator or whatever?
Gladiator, sure. Yeah.
He's like, you remind me of a man back on Earth. Then the Gladiator's like, oh, he must have been a smart Terran. He's like, yes, he was. And I'd like to remember him. His name was Magnus. And I was like, oh, so he's going to give up this whole life in being an emperor of the galaxy for Magnus.
It wouldn't work. It wasn't going to work that relationship anyway. But yes, gay.
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 He can forget all of his X-Men, his whole history on Earth, but not.
Not Magnus.
Not Magnus. Also, why is he Magnus and not Eric? Is it both?
Eric Magnus Lencher. But his actual name is Max.
Max Eisenhart.
Yeah.
Because Eisen is iron in German.
Oh, is it?
Or something like that.
How did you know that?
Because I speak German. And also, it's in one of the games.
But how did you know that his name was...
Because I saw it written somewhere. Okay. There was a version of him in a game, a little game app that I play, and... I read the
because that
bios.
Was a fairly recent thing because he's been Eric Lencher and then Eric Magnus for so long.
Is this the one where I know there's like an alternate reality where he's leader of the X-Men because he's because Professor X had died.
Oh my god, we'll talk about Age of Apocalypse a different day.
But Age of Apocalypse, that's what it was.
So good. No, this he just took a different name after the Holocaust, and his real name is Max. And he didn't, when he became Magneto, he was like, that guy's gone. I'm not that guy anymore.
Was that a retcon then?
Very recently, yeah. Oh, here we go.
I saw that as well. Anyway, so yeah, that's good. So that's our update of the week.
If God knows what we fucking talked about, but there's like shit going on.
Tell us about news. Write in and tell us about any news that we might have missed. We can talk about on the show. If you have suggestions about what you want to hear us talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch. Our email address is incompletegeekspodcast@gmail.com. If you don't want to email, you can always just send us a message on TikTok or Instagram. We're on both of those. Our handles there are @incompletegeeks. While you're there, give us a follow, like our stuff, and share it with your friends. We like the contact. much like Rogue, we love the contact. Yes, if we did forget anything, we're very sorry.
I get stuff. I apologize for the being a massive X-Men fan. I've got so much wrong about this show. Well, but you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a complete geek.
But you are working on it.
We both are.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Fucking yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Did my light just go out?
Yeah.